for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. I think we've just been reminded why all the generations of Jewish and Christian believers have loved this psalm. This is one of the treasures of the Bible. Here is a prayer so lyrical, so intimate, so revealing in its heights and depths that if you listen in faith, you are converted all over again. Hard to know the circumstances in which this prayer was written. Maybe somebody has accused the writer unjustly, and maybe that's why he gets so indignant against the enemies of God. Maybe that's why he wants so much for God to search him and know his heart. But whatever his reason for writing, the author of this psalm tells us something about God that we may take home with us this morning. He tells us a truth that can sound downright scary. He says that God is inescapable. The psalmist says we can conceal our thoughts from each other, but not from God. We can hide our shame from each other, but not from God. We can outsmart our competitors, but nobody outsmarts God. We can move out of town. In fact, we can keep on moving out of town the way people do in C.S. Lewis's picture of hell, so that the landscape fills with abandoned houses as people keep moving farther and farther away from each other in a sort of mad desolation. The point is that we can outmove each other, but we can't outmove God. We can outlive each other, but we can't outlive God. We can keep each other in the dark, but nobody keeps God in the dark because God has perfect night vision. We can try to drown our anxieties by drinking ourselves stupid, but when we come to our senses, God will still be there. Even death brings no escape. People who hope to end it all discover that at the end, there is God, and now they have to deal with God all over again. Facts are stubborn things, and the stubborn fact is that I can't get away from God. Where would I go? As the psalmist says, if I fly high, so does God. If I sink low, so does God. If I rise with the dawn or set with the evening sun, God rises and sets right along with me. Up, down, east, west, no exit anywhere. Even burrowing into the womb of the earth brings me back to God. I can't get outside God. God's house has no outdoors. I can't even retreat to the sanctuary of my own mind because God tracks every thought. God knows all the devices and desires of my heart. God knows not only what I say, but also what I think. Not only what I say, but what I almost said. God knows the kind word I forgot to say and the gracious word I never dreamt of saying. It can make a person crazy. I always have company. I never have privacy. Everywhere I go, I am being watched. In 1998, the actor Will Smith played a labor lawyer named Robert Dean in a film titled Enemy of the State. In this film, Dean has a good job, a Georgetown house, a lovely family. All is sunny side up until the day that a former classmate surreptitiously slips a video into Robert Dean's shopping bag. The video has a murder on it. It has the evidence that could jail a government official. And so the official comes after Dean. Using the vast power of the federal government, the murderer taps Dean's phones and bugs Dean's house. He hacks into Dean's computer and tracks every keystroke. He films every move Robert Dean makes. He even bugs Robert Dean's clothing. And as the film goes on, you get this awful, creepy sense of what it means to be watched. Somebody knows when I sit and when I rise. Somebody knows when I come and when I go. Somebody knows which pair of lateral incisors shreds my dental floss. Somebody is familiar with all my ways because somebody is watching. Somebody is listening. Somebody is studying me as if I were a rat trapped in a lab. Here's the nightmare that turned Orwell and Kafka into household names. Here's the threat to personal privacy that people fear so much that they will do anything to escape it. And now the psalmist reveals that this is not just some Orwellian vision. This is Bible truth. God has us hemmed in. God is watching. God is listening. Around every corner, at the end of every hallway, at the top of every flight of stairs, there is God. We have no escape, no retreat, no privacy at all. And this is why in every age, some people have wanted to kill God. If God keeps impinging on me, if God keeps crowding on me, if God will give me no room to live and move and have my own being, then I will attack God. I will get rid of God. I will deny God, reject God, remove God. I will pass a law that outlaws God. I will organize a conference that reimagines God. I will go off to the kind of seminary where the main job is to tell students what they no longer have to believe, especially about God. I'm saying that people will try anything to escape the inescapable God. The mere fact of God's godness, that God is God and not we ourselves, this fact has always been intolerable to us in our sin. This is one reason our Savior ended up on a Roman cross. The Gospels tell us that Jesus Christ brought God much too close for comfort. And when God gets too close, people want to cross God out. The Gospels tell us that priests plotted against Jesus, that Judas betrayed him, that three disciples fell asleep on him, that witnesses lied about him, that Peter denied him. Each was a stake in Jesus' heart before the Romans ever drove them through his hands and feet. That's the killer's response to the inescapable God, and centuries of modernity have taught us that you don't need to be Friedrich Nietzsche to be tempted by it. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too terrifying to me, too intolerable to me, too awful for me? No, the psalmist says such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's wonderful that you know me so well and love me still. This changes everything. What if God's knowledge of me is the knowledge of a loving creator who has knit me together in my mother's womb? What if the all-knowing God has not got me trapped in a lab, but cradled in his grace? What if I quit fighting the inescapable God and surrender to him? What if I give in to the God I cannot escape? The great Saint Augustine fought God off for years. Tells us all about it in his autobiography. He tells us of all the years that he wandered in a labyrinth of thought and desire, and how he had so late found his heart's true home. O God, prayed Augustine, late have I loved you. O beauty so ancient and so new, late have I loved you. You were with me, and I was not with you. But you called, you broke open my deafness, you shone forth upon me and scattered my blindness, you touched me, and I burned for your peace. The writer of Psalm 139 is at last at peace. It's a comfort that God knows me through and through, because nobody else is up to the job. Nobody else is up to the job of knowing me through and through. My secrets are safe, finally, only with God. Think about it. When our bad secrets get out, other people may discuss them, they may exploit them, they may get self-righteous about them, but they are not likely to receive them with the perfect sorrow and perfect love of God. When our good secrets get out, people may doubt them or envy them or mock them, but they are unlikely to receive them with the perfect joy and perfect love of God. Nobody else can be up to the job of knowing our secrets and loving us unconditionally. Oh God, you hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me, and we are so afraid that God's hand on us may be too heavy. But what if the hand that is laid upon us has been wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities? What if God keeps watch, not like Big Brother, but like Jesus in Gethsemane, watching and waiting to do his terrifying work, even though it is midnight in his soul? Robert Dean was under surveillance, and he wanted out. We are under care, and we ought to want in. Brothers and sisters, I've come to the auditorium this morning to say really just one thing. Being watched could be terrifying beyond anything we imagine. Or it could be a grace beyond anything we have ever experienced. Everything depends on who is watching. It's time to sing. 397, The Gift of Love. Thank you. Friends of Jesus Christ, may God go before you to lead you. May God go behind you to guard you. May God go beneath you to support you. May God go beside you to befriend you. Do not be afraid. Let the blessing of God come upon you today and settle in around you. Do not be afraid. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.